This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I got to tell you something. I am so happy to be with you today. I certainly am. I love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. I am always eager to hear from you right here. Let me give you a toll-free number to use. It is toll-free for you right here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. As I like to say, don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. Call us now so we can have that holy conversation together as we make our way through our program. Open for any kind of question or comment that you might have today. It is the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, and I know so many of you love him so very, very much. Maybe he's impacted your life in a special way. Maybe you are a Franciscan. Maybe you are a Third Order Franciscan. Maybe you have a special devotion to him for any number of reasons. We'd love to hear about it today. That might be just a question to get us all going. But as I say, we are wide open for any question or comment that you have on your heart, you have on your mind. Question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Also want to let you know that we're available for you in social media land. Just get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page and use the chat feature there. We're eager to hear from you that way. We will get that question or comment and put it up on the board. Happy to say that Jeff Burson is back with us today. Yes, he is. He is riding high in that saddle in the production studio there on the campus of EWTN, and we're happy he's back. He is also our social media manager, and he is the one who's going to do the dashing. He's going to dash out there, the dashing man that he is, and collect your question or comment and get it up on the board. We have Matt Gubensky on phones today. Yes, we do. We're happy about that. We just need you. We just need you. And all of those things fall into right order and they fall into play. 833-288-3986. The phone lines are lighting up already. Oh boy, oh boy. That puts a big old smile on my face. Eager to hear from you here. Do want to tell you about some things that are going on, and I am excited about all of them. You know, there's something about, you know, the reality of having opportunities to learn about the Lord that just absolutely make me giddy with joy. Even the thought of learning something about him, even the thought of getting some kind of new insight, or maybe being taken more deeply into a mystery of his life, or discovering another way of looking at a particular scripture passage or something, you know. It just fills me with absolute joy. Even the prospect of it does. So I hope that this will fill you with joy and you will take advantage of what we're going to be offering you this Saturday. We have a beautiful, beautiful online retreat lined up for you on the Holy Rosary. And this is a retreat that is only a day part. It's going to start at 10 a.m. Eastern time. It's going to close with the Rosary at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. It's just 4 hours, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to be 4 hours laden with grace. Yes, it is. The theme is the Holy Rosary and our journey towards salvation. Don't you love that? The Holy Rosary and our journey towards salvation. And you know, the Rosary is so significant in my life. It plays a big, big, huge, enormous part in my life. It really is. Maybe I would even want to say it's the backbone of my prayer time, because I love the Rosary. If I don't have my Rosary said in the morning, I get it said at some point during the day. But I love in the morning to wake up. I love to put those holy beads in my hand. I love to ask our Blessed Lady to take me into the mysteries of her Son's life. I like to sit there in joyful anticipation of what the Holy Spirit is going to do in that time. And sometimes I apprehend that, you know, intellectually sometimes, but most of the time, it's just something that's happening in the soul. And oftentimes, I don't even see the reality of it until a different point in time, maybe sometime through the course of that day, or even days later, and something will open up interiorly for me, or I'll discover that there's a facility for a virtue that I've been trying to acquire, or whatever the deal is. And I'll say, you know what? That is the fruit of my time with our Blessed Mother taking me into the mysteries of her son's life. And I'm going to tell you, it's really, in my own personal experience, it's really moved me along this continuum in the spiritual life. And I want to share with you all about that. I really do. I want to take you into those realities. And we're going to be doing that, the Holy Rosary and our journey towards salvation this Saturday. Also presenting along with me is Thomas K. Sullivan. And he's going to be talking with us about the Rosary throughout time, and not in an historic perspective so much as in a, an eschatological perspective. Woohoo! There's a big 50 cent word. Eschatological. The unfolding of the pilgrim journey and salvation that ultimately will culminate in the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being united to him for all eternity. And he looks at the Rosary through that lens. It's fascinating stuff. I know, because I know what he's talking about. I've actually seen a presentation on it that he's given. So it's going to be wonderful. And I don't want you to miss this opportunity. And because I'm so eager about this, and because we so much want for you to be able to participate, there's really no set fee for this event, right? We're saying that it's free, but in order to make the software that we use, for these kinds of things, for registration, work and operate, you have to put at least a buck in there, at least a dollar. If you want to contribute more, that's fine. But it's really just a facility to be able to make the program operate. We don't want anything to stand in your way from joining us this Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time until 2 p.m. in the afternoon, as we explore together and go on retreat together into the mysteries of the Rosary. I mean, I have a very vivid imagination, as you might well expect, but it's almost as if I see the Rosary as being these doors that keep opening and we keep walking through them. So it's like the Rosary being a gateway into a fuller development of the transformative effects of the power of the Holy Spirit and the life of union with Jesus. And so we're gonna be exploring all of that. I don't know what you think about that, but I think it's pretty terrific. And we're hoping that you'll join us, and I'm hoping that it blesses you abundantly, because the world needs you. The world needs you, and you got to believe that. If you believe that God's actually given you life at this moment in the history of man, because everything about you, when given to Him through an act of surrender and total consecration to Him, and I do believe through the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady, then if you believe that, then I got to tell you, you'll begin to live that. And as you begin to live it, the world around you will change. It will change. I promise you that. And just imagine if all of us did that, if every one of us did that, guess what would happen? The whole world would change. The culture would change. Yeah. It really would. And all of these problems that we're battling within the realities of our life together in this community of man, all of that would be vivified by the light of God. So I want you to see yourself, as this flame of hope that God's put into the world for this moment. And we want to put the bellows on that flame, right? We want to put the bellows on that flame. So that it becomes great and full and robust, and you become a conflagration on the face of the earth. Woohoo! I like it. Coming right back, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Give us a call. We're here for you today. Any topic is a good topic.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We are so happy to be with you today on the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi, and I'm giving you an opportunity today to call in and talk about how this great saint has impacted your life, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here as we discuss issues of importance to your life and faith. Always, our phone lines are open for any question that you might have, comment that you might like to make, prayer request that you might have, inspiration you want to share, insight that you want to give us, or a word of encouragement for all of the body of Christ gathered in this moment through these radio waves. So do give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also want to remind you that we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can use the chat feature at either one of those two sites and put your question or comment, insight, inspiration, word of encouragement in there. And Jeff Burson, lovely person, back with us today. We'll collect it and put it up on the board. We've got Matt Gubensky on the phones. Please say howdy hey to Matt when you call in. And we want to be with Daniel. He's in California this morning, and I'm eager to see what it is or hear what it is that he has to say. He is with us via the EWTN app, yet another way in which you can join us. Just want you to know that that app is free. It's a great app. I have it on my phone. I like it very much, and we encourage you perhaps to do the same, to get it on your phone. So there you are, Daniel. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome. It's my joy. So tell me, what do you want to share with us today?
Well, I just wanted to mention that St. Francis of Assisi is real impactful in my life because my mom was a Franciscan nun back in the early 50s.
Oh, my goodness.
And then she left the convent right after Vatican II. Mm-hmm. And then here I am. God works in different ways. But, yeah, I just wanted to say that he'll always have an impact in my life because
I'm quite certain of that, Daniel. And, you know, praise be to God that your mother's spiritual maternity actually became a biological maternity, and she's given you to the world and the world to you. And I just know that it must be a wonderful opportunity for you to grow through her, because all that she learned and acquired and the understanding of the spiritual life that she gained for those years that she was a religious sister, I'm quite certain have been shared with you in a variety of ways.
Yes, and the main, you know, focus when I was growing up was just, you know, sacrificing. Anything mm-hmm. that, any cross that comes your way, anything that happens, always sacrifice it for Christ. And try to, you know, see Christ in people and always do what you need to do to make this world better, regardless of what the outcome is. But, yeah, that's my thing for you. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're so welcome, and thank you for sharing today. And it gives me an opportunity to talk about that period of time following the Second Vatican Council. It was a time of real confusion within the church, I just have to tell you. And that's not an unusual thing. You know, generally speaking, it takes, I think that the rule of thumb is that it takes about 100 years for balance to be restored following a Vatican Council. And in terms of contemporary times, the Second Vatican Council, the pendulum swung very, very far to the left. And then we've seen it swing very far to the right, and it will even out where the Holy Spirit desires it evens out. And one of the great sadnesses, I think, that happened following the Second Vatican Council is a lot of religious sisters left their religious orders. And some of us might want to think, well, you know, they were just happy to get out of those habits, and they wanted to get back into the world and see what the world was offering at that moment, because, you know, it was in this midst of upheaval, and yet at the same time there was an element of excitement that was going on because so much was changing. But I don't think that that's necessarily why so many of them left. I think that it might well have been the fact that they felt as if the rug had been pulled out from underneath them. What happened in many religious orders is that the misapplication of the Second Vatican Council began to have a negative effect on the way in which religious life was being altered within the context of convents and monasteries that housed sisters. And so many of these women went in to religious life via a discernment process and a desire to live according to the pattern of life that had been established for centuries before. But as there were progressives within the church, there were also some progressives within the religious orders. And truly, that was kind of stirred on by some psychologists at the time who went into religious orders. I remember years back on The Abundant Life, I interviewed one of them, and the reason why he wanted to come on the program was because he wanted to make a public apology and a public repentance for his participation in leading so many good women of God astray, and the debacle that ensued after that with regard to so many of the religious orders. So a lot of women felt as though that way of life that they gave their life to, this union with Christ in this holy spiritual marriage, was being usurped. So, you know, I don't know what your mom's situation was, Daniel. I'm certainly not going to ask you to share that with us. But the fact of the matter is, this is the case in many, many, many of the situations where women left religious life. So now we see, however, that some of those religious orders that fell victim to this progressive way of thinking are actually drying up. The religious sisters that are still living are quite elderly, and very few vocations, if any vocations, are being secured. And so we see many of these religious orders becoming a victim, I think, of the misapplication of the teachings of the Second Vatican Council. And we see many new religious orders that are rising up, that have gone back to that beautiful reality of this community who lives together, prays together, follows the charism of their order together, and is making a significant impact on the world today. And you can, you know, I could name them for you, but I know once I start naming, I'll inadvertently leave in one of them out, and I certainly don't want to do that. But you know who they are, and for the most part, they all wear religious habits, not modified. So, I mean, I think that it's a sign of contradiction that's very necessary today, and we're very, very grateful for this work of God now that's a process of restoration and renewal. And we remember that passage in Joel, you know, where it says that God speaks to the prophet and says, I will restore what the locusts have eaten. And when God restores, if we look at the book of Job, he just doesn't return us to how we were. No, he gives us more than we had. So I'm very encouraged right now. I am a woman of great hope. I really am. I have tremendous hope. I have tremendous belief that our Holy Spirit is about a great and marvelous work in the world today. And what we're seeing here is the last hurrah. You know, we're seeing the head of the serpent is being crushed and the tail is thrashing. You know, you step on a lizard and step on its head and its tail thrashes, right? And I think that that's what we're seeing. And so the thrashing of that tail and the lashing and the slashing that happens as a result of that thrashing, we're experiencing that. All of the stops are pulled out in hell right now, because hell is going down in our day and time, and a new moment is going to arrive. And I'm looking forward to that new moment. I might not live to see it, but I'm certainly hoping that my grandchildren live to see it, and my beautiful children live to see it as well. So thank you, Daniel. Beautiful witness talk there about the beauty and the wonder that God gives us in so many ways. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Inviting you to pick up the phone and give us a call. We've got Kathy. Kathy is with us, and she's a first-time caller in Richmond, Virginia. And I'm going to ring my bell for her to welcome you, Kathy, to our program today. She's listening to us via Sirius XM 130. So what's going on, sweetheart?
I've got a lot going on. First of all, I just want to divulge that I am Greek Orthodox, and we don't have an EWTN. So I've been absolutely, I was drawn in through Mother Angelica, because I absolutely adore her. And I've actually been asking her to pray and intercede for us. I have a great devotion to the Theotokos. This is what we refer to as the Virgin Mary.
Yes.
And I adore you as well. I love your show.
Thank you.
Just been going through a lot, Johnette. The last 2 years have been a real Job moment for our family. We all had the wild virus, COVID. My parents were very sick from it. My husband and my father were hospitalized for it. Then my dad, who's 85, he hurt his leg and had to have it amputated in December. And now my mom has been diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, honey.
And it, while I feel like I understand suffering,
yeah,
it just seems it's just a lot at once.
Yes.
And I do pray a lot, and I prayed the novena for Our Lady Undoer of Knot, and I don't know what God wants us to understand and learn from all this.
Yeah.
And I just ask for your prayers and encouragement, because I know you've been through a lot in your life too, and you understand what it's like. But nobody prepares you for caring for your parents. You learn how to raise your children by watching other people and their example. And I do have another sibling. She lives out of town, and she does the best she can. It's just a lot. And like I said, I'm trying to understand what the Lord wants us to learn and do. And I'm very willing to do whatever it takes, and I tell Jesus every day, I love you no matter what. I wish the Our Lady would undo this knot for me a little bit.
Yeah. You know, Kathy, I'm going to pray with you in just a few minutes here, but, you know, I just want to talk with you about some of what you're experiencing right now. And I'm reminded of a passage in Scripture. I think it's 1 Corinthians 10. I think it's verse 13. And it says, no test has come to you that has not come to every man, but in the midst of the test, God will give you a way out, lest you be crushed by it. And right now, what you're feeling is the weight of it. You're feeling that crushing of it. But God is giving you a way out. And I know that the way out always comes by way of our Blessed Mother, who attends to our needs just as she attended to every need of our Lord. And I think of that climb up the Via Dolorosa with our mother and, in terms of our mother. I think of it and I see our Lord, and he's walking that Via Dolorosa, but his mother is very nearby. And their union was a type of union that we'll never be able to know the depths of. Maybe in heaven, you know, it'll be one of the mysteries that continues to unfold for all eternity, because we'll never exhaust any of these mysteries. Even in heaven, we won't. They're infinite, so it'll be a constant revelation of one mystery after another. But this union between them is so great, and Our Lady is sojourning with him. And I think of that fourth station of the cross where, Jesus and his mother meet, and I think of their eyes, and maybe, Kathy, maybe this would be sort of like a mental image that you could bring into your mind when the crushing weight feels so very heavy. And I for me, many, many times as I went through the collection of suffering, because I don't know why it is, but it seems to come in groups like you're experiencing, I would hold on to this. And in that moment, you know, we don't have any words for it. It's tradition that tells us that they met on the way. Of course they did. And if we think of Mel Gibson's movie on the Passion of the Christ, I believe it shows that Jesus fell, and then I think the third station he falls, and then the fourth station there he meets his mother, and I think that all they're doing, Kathy, at that moment, in my mind, is looking at each other. There's no words that are necessary. They are just looking at each other, and he is looking into the eyes of his mother. And he's finding in her the strength that he needs to soldier on, to complete his mission. But Our Lady likewise is looking into the eyes of her son. And she's finding in him, even as she's giving courage, she's receiving courage from him. It's this mutual exchange of the power of the Holy Spirit active within the midst of their humanity in that moment that gives them the capacity to move on. And oftentimes, you know, when my husband, late husband, was suffering with brain cancer, and oftentimes during that time preceding that, when the weight of grief over the loss of my son was so heavy, I would just like to picture myself caught up in the union of that gaze, kind of being inserted into the midst of that communication. You know, I would find myself asking our Lord, please, the courage and the gift of capacity for suffering that you are giving to your mother, and that same gift that she was giving back to you, let it go through me. Let it go through me. Let me experience it, Lord. Hold me in the midst of that gaze, that I might gain what it is that I need to move forward. And you love Our Lady. And I love the title of Theotokos. I love that title. She is the Christ bearer. And she is bearing him to you right now, Kathy. She's bearing him to you. And it's true that there's going to be moments when you are deeply involved emotionally and psychologically and spiritually in that suffering. But in a sense, it's Jesus. It's Jesus suffering through you for the sake of what it is that your parents need in that moment. And so, you know, and I discovered this with Simon's death, my son's death. I discovered in such a unique way. And I know that I know that I know that it came through Our Mother. And I discovered that to embrace the cross relieves the weight of the cross. To embrace it. And I mean that, of course, through the actions that we perform, but I mean it in a different way. I mean it primarily in this gift of self to the cross, that the treasure of the cross, the grace of the cross, the life of the cross might be experienced in the moment. And that is true intercessory prayer. That is entering into the reality of the passion and the death of our Lord for the sake of the resurrection that we will all experience at some point in time. And you can be a conduit of that, if you will, through this gift of self. When we come back, I don't want you to go anywhere, because I want to pray with you on the other side of the break, Kathy. So you stay with us, and friends, we want to hear from you too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Give us a call. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We are so happy that you are with us today, and I want to give you the toll-free number to use if you're in North America so that you can join us here live on Women of Grace Live. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Do give us a call. Our phone lines are open for you. Matt Kabensky is out there on the phones today. Jeff Burson is back in the saddle, and he is our social media manager. He'll collect your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, or words of encouragement that you leave for us out there on EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. So please do use the chat feature there, and Jeff will get it, and he'll get it up on the board. As I say, I'm happy to hear from you today, 833-288-EWTN. We have Kathy on the phone. She is in Richmond, Virginia. She is sharing with us about the difficult time that she's going through caregiving her parents. It just seems as though things are mounting in her life. There's a lot that's going on. And Kathy, when we went to the break, I was just giving you, you know, hopefully a mental picture that you'll be able to take into your time of prayer to help you to receive that courage and that strength that our Lord would have you receive. And the other thing that I want to say is rather practical. And I just want to say that it's very important for you to take care of yourself and to give yourself permission to have respite. Just this morning, I was talking with a friend on the phone, and I was saying to her, even Jesus set off in the boat and would go out into the Sea of Galilee to get away from all that was going on so that he could have quiet time with his Father. Yeah. If Jesus in his humanity needed that, I'm just saying we need it too. So be patient with yourself, number one. Allow yourself to have these times of respite, number two. And God has not forsaken you nor abandoned you, and remind yourself of that, number three. A good book for you, written by a friend of mine, that's newly available. It's called Walking the Way of the Cross for Caregivers, How to Cope Practically, Emotionally, and Spiritually When Your Loved One is Seriously Ill. It's written by our Director of Communications at EWTN, Michelle, with two L's, Michelle Johnson, and it's available for you at EWTNRC.com. It's a very good book because it's very practical, and yet it also gives you spiritual insight, actually, through the way of the cross, and so I think it would be helpful. But let's just take a moment, Kathy, and let's just do what I was suggesting you try, and let's just envision, and friends, I want to ask you to do the same thing, because Kathy's not the only one that's carrying a big, heavy cross right now. Many of you are carrying a big, heavy cross right now. In lots of ways, you know, that cross seems bigger than we are, and the weight of it all but threatens to crush us under it. But God gives us the strength that we need, and we can do all things through Him. And those are just not words. Those are realities. And so we're going to enter into the reality of that word, and we're going to put our trust and our faith and our hope in those words. And so, Kathy, and all of you listening right now, you know, let's just picture that moment now in any way that the Holy Spirit begins to paint it in your imaginative eye of your soul. And I want you to just see Jesus. And here He is, and He's climbing up that Via Dolorosa. And He's been beaten, scourged from head to foot. He's been mocked and ridiculed. He's been slapped and He's been punched. There's a crown of thorns on His head, and those thorns are pressing into His skull, pressing into His forehead. And the blood is so profuse that He can barely see through it. It's in His eyes. That face is just a filleted piece of flesh, as is His back. His strength is sapped by all that He's endured in the hours preceding this climb. And He's walking. And perhaps He trips. Perhaps the exhaustion seizes Him for a moment, and He falls. And the jar of that cross is so great upon Him that His one eye dips back into its socket. And as He looks up from the misery of the street, there's His mother, and He sees her. And He looks at her. And He sees the suffering that He's experiencing etched on her face, because she's suffering right along with Him. And His love for her is so great that it speaks through the misery of His own flesh. And His look of love and the strength that He offers her through the power of the Holy Spirit is pervasive. And she sees. And she receives. But even as she's receiving, her love for Him, so great, exudes from her own countenance. And He receives it. And in this mutual embrace of love and strength and courage, a dynamic takes place. And they're both refreshed interiorly. And now, Kathy, you're there observing this, and Jesus and Our Lady look, and they see you. And they bid you to come close, close, close. And just see yourself, Kathy, coming close, close, close. And they hold you in the midst of this dynamic of love and strength and hope and confidence and assurance. And even as we sit with this mental prayer picture, because this is prayer, what we're doing here, Kathy, this is prayer, this is prayer. They bid you to just simply open your heart to receive what they want to give you. And the Holy Spirit, that dynamic, that reality, that personification of the love between the Father and the Son lays hold of your heart. And Jesus now says, my daughter, take a portion of the cross, a portion of the cross. Let me carry it within you. And through this portion of my cross will come all of the grace and all of the strength that you need. But more will come as well. Through your reception of this portion of my cross, my redemptive grace will flow into your situation. And the ultimate healing will happen. And the abundance of my life will be known, tasted, felt, and recognized. And we thank you, Father, for your gift. We thank you, Father, for what it is that you do in us. We thank you, Father, that you look at us and say, yes, join my son in this work of salvation. We thank you, Father, that even our sufferings take on the glory of joy when we give them to you. And Father, I thank you that you're promising this will happen for your daughter Kathy and for all of those children of yours who have joined us in this moment of prayer on the air. And I ask you, Father, that this will manifest itself in a deeper increase of faith and hope and love, and that they will feel the presence of the Holy Spirit within the confines of their being, the cloister of their heart. And they will be refreshed, and they will be made new. And we do offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. So, Kathy, take what's happened here. Let it develop within you, okay? And in those small moments when it seems too much to bear, sit quietly, recall this moment, let the Holy Spirit paint the prayer picture for you again, because this is never ending. This strength and this love that God's giving you is never ending. Dip into it. Be refreshed by it. Let him take you through the heart of Our Lady through this moment in time, okay?
Thank you, Johnette.
You're welcome, sweetheart.
And I do love you. I don't know you, but I do love you.
Well, thank you.
Give me great peace. Thank you.
Oh, well, it's not me that's giving you the peace, honey. It's the Holy Spirit. It's our Lord, because he loves you so much.
Yeah, through you. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you, dearest.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live today. It is the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, and you might have a story about him that has impacted you or opened your heart and your mind to new realities of God's love for you. We'd love to hear about it here. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Also want to remind you that we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page. We're both places. And we've got a chat feature there for you to use to put your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement up there. We encourage you to do so. Beautiful meditation today in Benedictus on St. Francis. As a matter of fact, the meditation is from St. Francis. He's written this. I don't have my readers up here. I left them in another part of the house here. So I'm going to try to get my way through this because it's lovely for you to hear. It says this: consider, O man, how great the excellence in which the Lord has placed you, because he has created and formed you in the image of his beloved Son, according to the body, and to his own likeness, according to the Spirit. Now think about that for a moment. St. Francis is giving us insight into the reality of who we are, that we are made truly in the image and likeness of God, and that we image Jesus in his humanity through our body, but we image him spiritually in our soul. He says, and all the creatures that are under heaven serve and know and obey their creator in their own way better than you. I'll tell you, it's the truth. I was just, talking to my husband last night, as a matter of fact, about that very reality. I said, the animals just do as they have been given to do by God through their instinct, right? They never displease God. They're always fulfilling their purpose, because what are they doing? They're living out the reality of who they are. And I said, it's just that pesky free will that gets us into trouble. And isn't that the truth? It's the free will that gets us into trouble. And sometimes we think, well, the animals have it better off because they don't have free will. They're driven by instinct, and they're always fulfilling their purpose. They're always living according to the plan of God for them, and they're never failing in that. But they don't image God in the way in which we do. We image God in a way that is like unto God, in that he's given us free will just as he has free will. He's given us intelligence just as he has intellect. Right? He's given us a sense of self-consciousness that helps us to know that we exist, and he's given us the ability to choose to fulfill our purpose, to choose to fulfill our mission, to move forward in that when we surrender our will to his will. I don't know about you, though. I don't do that very well. It says in sacred scripture that even the just man sins 7 times a day, right? So in the course of a month, that's 210 sins. I don't know the last time I went to confession and confessed 210 sins. I don't know about you. Maybe you have, but I don't think I have. So we don't even see the sins that we commit. We don't even see the ways in which we don't live out the will of God. We're impervious to it. Oftentimes because it's become so much of a habit in our lives. Or we're really not thinking about our mission. We're not really thinking about the fact that we're called to live according to the order of God. And it gets frustrating, doesn't it? I'll bet you if you go back in your life, I should say, when I go back in my own life and I look at all of the mistakes that I made through willfulness, look at all of the mistakes that I made because rather than following the will of God for me, I didn't even ask for it. I just went in my own direction. If I were to look at all of those times and actually recognize the consequences, some of them are very clear to me. I see the consequences. If I were to do that, I would probably quake in my boots to ever step outside of the will of God. But like every one of us, sometimes I am even impervious to the fact, which is why I'm always begging him, give me a sensitive conscience, Lord. Give me a really sensitive conscience. Help me to see myself as you see me. Because we're all poor self-observers. I don't know about you, but I can certainly say that about me. I am a poor self-observer. And St. Francis is reminding us of this, right? And he's not doing it in a gentle way. You know, he's really laying it on the line for us. And all the creatures that are under heaven serve and know and obey their creator in their own way better than you. And even the demons did not crucify him, but you together with them crucified him and still crucify him by taking delight in vices and sins. Wherefore then can you glory? Isn't that interesting? I mean, that, you know, we here's the problem that we have, especially with regard to St. Francis. We see St. Francis as this, I don't know, rather timid man. This is the way he's portrayed, you know, who loved all of the animals and the animals all flocked to him. And our current culture loves St. Francis because they've cast him into their own mold. And they see him as an ecologist, you know, or they see him as one that would be out there talking about, living a life that's green, right? The energy conservation. They cast him into a kind of figurine that can be used for any number of reasons, right? Or in any number of ways. But just these words coming from a sermon of St. Francis of Assisi tells you that this man, there was nothing weak about this man. And why is it that he loved the animals? And why is it that he loved nature? Why is it that he talks about the created world? Why does he love it so? Does he love it for its own sake? No, he doesn't love it for its own sake. He loves it because in it he sees the manifestation of the majesty of God. He sees God in it, not in a pantheistic way that everything is God, but he sees God in it. He sees the majesty of God, the glory of God, the creativity of God, the ingenuity of God. He sees the divine and holy order of God. He looks at the world as it functions, and he sees the precision with which it functions, and he knows it is an intelligence beyond anything that we can even begin to understand that's created it and set it in motion. And he tells us, you know, what upsets that divine and holy order? He takes us back to the reality of sin. And if we look, you know, in chapter 3 of Genesis, and we look at the consequences of the sin of Adam and Eve, we can see those consequences get played out in our own life because of sin. And what are those consequences? Well, the first is that we break union with God and we hide from him. We hide from him in any number of ways. We hide from him because, you know, we, first of all, refuse to acknowledge him. We live, and these are the words of Michael Warsaw at the opening of the family celebration. He says, we live in a post-truth culture, a post-truth world. And I thought to myself when I heard those words, that's so right. We used to say it was post-Christian. And it is post-Christian. But even more profoundly, it's post-truth. We deny the very realities that are self-evident. We manipulate language to darken our minds. We stop talking about the biological reality of male and female. We take sex, the word sex, two sexes, male and female, we take sex and we call it gender. I had a gentleman that came up to me. This is interesting. I had a gentleman that came up to me at the family celebration. And he says, you know, John, I've been thinking about this. So this is his thinking. He said, it's been so easy for us to fall victim to this stripping man's dignity, stripping him of who man, and here I'm using the general term of man, inclusive of woman, to strip man of his dignity by way of the way in which God's created him, because we have substituted the word gender for sex. People would agree, I suppose they would agree, that there are two sexes, but we've even begun to consider that not immutable, that it can be changed. He says gender refers to, it's a classification that comes by way of grammar. It's not specific to male or female. And there's even a neutral. So what we need to do, dear friends, is to be restored by the light of truth. So ask God to radiate His truth from the heavens into our hearts and our minds and our spirits. And let's see what He does in us, and let's see what He does in the world. It's been great being with you today. Loved it. Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye now.